originally were going to, wanted to station a trooper in Sag River. That would require an additional $120,000 for a mobile home type of unit. However, we've decided to just station the trooper at Prudhoe, which is much less. We don't have to build a home. However, at Coldfoot, we need to put a duplex, which would house a trooper and a fish and wildlife officer, along with a single-engine aircraft and two snow machines. The purpose there is the single-engine aircraft would be used primarily by fish and wildlife officer because we have already in place a hangar at Coldfoot. We also have a single-family housing unit for the current fish and wildlife officer there now. So that would give us two fish and wildlife officers on the road plus three troopers on the road. That's a total of five personnel. Each of the officers would have to have a, we believe, a four-wheel vehicle for patrolling the road. These two snow machines would be off-highway use. The aircraft would be used primarily for fish and wildlife enforcement and search and rescue. If you want me to go in further on the operating costs, I can. I'm prepared to do that. The remainder of capital is $1.5 million. That is an estimate on communication to the installation of a earth station, a combination of an earth station and microwave system relay stations. Again, I like to stress that this is an estimate. Our figures are going to be coming from the Division of Communications. They have a representative here in case you need to ask questions on communication. The communication is really not for the public. It's for use by employees of the state, troopers, fish and wildlife, DOT, the road graders, and etc. When you have the motorists up there, that communication, we must have communication between each other and Fairbanks for emergency medical services. Because of the public being there, that's the reason for the communication. I know it sounds like a lot of money, not $2.9 million for the first year, $541,000 for each year after for operating expenses. $2.9 million is not a lot of money. If you open the road and to the public's use and you do not provide the adequate protection and the services that the public demand and need, and something happens and there's a lawsuit, $2.9 million is nothing.
Ms. Chairman. Senator Fixon, Senator Gilley.
Thank you. Through the chair, five personnel for 200 miles, is that basically what we're doing here?
Yes. It'd be from 7 Mile would be one trooper. Coldfoot would be two fish and wildlife officers and one trooper. Prudhoe Bay would be one trooper.
Okay, so that's approximately 200 miles, as Senator Frank said, that we're talking about. What's the average number of personnel, fish and wildlife, and troopers that you have on any other stretch of 200 miles in rural Alaska? In other words, let's say from Denali Highway down the parks or north. I mean, how many? Is that an average number for 200 miles?
Well, I can tell you how many troopers we have from the Parks Highway, say beginning at Palmer, Wasilla. First one would be Del Keaton, there's a fish and wildlife officer, two troopers. Cantwell, there's a trooper and a fish and wildlife officer. Nenana.
There's you have trooper. Somebody at Traverse Creek, I know.
Yeah, well, Del Keaton, that's Del Keaton. That's Del Keaton.
Oh, all right.
And Healy, there's a trooper. Need another trooper, and then you hit Fairbanks. So I don't know. That's 250 miles or 300 miles of road. I think it's going to be about the same when you're talking about rural highways.
I'd volunteer the one at Traverse Creek to go up on the highway.
The highway between Paxton Lodge and McKinley, that's called the Denali Highway.
Okay.
There's on either side. Cantwell, and then there's Paxton Lodge, there's a trooper on each side, no place in between. And that road is 100 miles or
right.
less.
Right. Okay. Well, that's reasonable then.
So we were concerned with the cost.
Mr. Chairman, you're being consistent then.
I'm not sure the traffic volume on Parks Highway compares to that of the Dalton Highway.
I told you you could take the one at Trappers Creek.
Well, I was just thinking, you know, it may be possible, and I don't know. I mean, if you open it up, I guess you open it all up. Just thinking through this, and you have all those different people are going to be on there, and then they're going to get stranded, and I can see, you know, they have to have this microwave system, and so they can pick up the phone at the Smile. And I can see the helicopters and everything going out there trying to find them and everything. And I understand the reason why we haven't that we've restricted it to this point, but if we were to open it up and allow, if we somehow could still have it open to the public, but allow, guided kind of things to go through there on a year-round basis. They'd have to be in a bus or something like that. But then it could be regimented from the standpoint people have to take a bus, and then, you know, maybe we'd only have to have one person up at halfway point or something. It could be a gradual kind of opening kind of thing instead of going forth with this, just let anybody drive down the highway. I'm not so concerned about the wildlife. I think they can protect themselves. I'm concerned about people killing people, and I'm sure that's your concern out there in the middle of nowhere.
Tell
exactly.
That to the moose along the Alaska Railroad.
Well, at least there's not a railroad jamming down there. But
we did have earlier, there was documentation earlier that provided to the committee members that the Department of Public Safety was opposed to this legislation.
Oh.
We want to correct that. We are not opposed to this legislation.
One last question, Mr. Chairman. I noticed on the governor's budget and what you put in for, you have 18 trooper recruit candidates, all temporary, funded by the general fund and the training academy. Would it be possible for and one of those to go up on this kind of an operation, or are they all dedicated to
those
Anchorage or Juneau?
Those positions are to fill vacancies that will be occurring this fall.
Mr. McCoy, thank you very much. Normally we conclude at 3:30. Normally the labor committee comes in here. I don't want to speak for other members because I'm sure they have other obligations, but I am free to continue this public hearing. We do have a lot of people online. We are not going to be taking any action. I leave it to your own schedules and discretion how long you can stay. I appreciate your patience and staying, but I think we will try to keep going here and try to get to some of our people on teleconference, because frankly I don't know when we're going to be able to revisit this issue again with testimony. Mr. McCoy, thank you very much. What I'd like to do is, we had some people prearranged to testify from Fish and Game Department, and I know there's someone who had signed up in Fairbanks, Mr. Reynolds. Is there someone here from Fish and Game that wished to testify instead of Mr. Reynolds or before Mr. Reynolds?
Well, I was just not necessarily going to testify, but to clarify anything on our bill analysis, if you would wish it. And we have Mr. Reynolds in Fairbanks online, who is probably more familiar with that area than I am.
Well, thank you. Maybe we can go then to Mr. Reynolds in Fairbanks. Are you there, sir? Mr. Reynolds, if you might address a couple of concerns that have been raised in the prior committee and also in this committee already, and that concerns the management issues for fish and wildlife resources, particularly wildlife resources, along the existing stretch of highway, which is open north of the Yukon River, as well as in the event that the legislature would open the road north to Prudhoe Bay. We appreciate your comments on existing problems or analysis that you're familiar with, as well as protection mechanisms or funding mechanisms that we might employ if the road were to be opened.
Yeah, thank you. The problems that you've already brought up voice our concerns pretty much. We have two major, you know, the major concern is effective enforcement of existing laws. Right now, there continues to be illegal use of off-road vehicles, and that would probably increase with opening of the road. That could result in some habitat damage, but mostly we'd need money for
in your estimation, is there any need to take further statutory action? For example, the banning of bow hunting, the extending of the firearm ban beyond 5 miles, would any of that do any substantial good, or does it still boil down to the level of enforcement?
I think it would have to boil down to the level of enforcement. We have some of those regulations on the book now, and primarily because of the staffing problems with the Fish and Wildlife Protection, those regulations are very difficult to enforce. I think that we have mechanisms in place right now, if those were enforced, that could take care of increased use, both by, as I said, by enforcement and then possible board action by the Board of Game.
Let me ask you more specifically then. Let's two separate questions. First is, what about bow hunting? What are the current impacts of along the road bow hunting on moose or caribou populations? Do you have a feel for that?
We do have some concerns on, again, Unit 26B north of the Yukon, north of the Brooks Range. Those, I think, are being addressed, again, through regulation. But other than that, we don't have any immediate concerns that we don't think can't be handled in the present regulatory system.
I'm not sure what those regulations are. What is the situation of caribou hunting north of the Brooks Range now?
At present, there's a regulation prohibiting hunting of moose within 2 miles of the highway north of the Brooks Range. That's all hunting. And mile restriction continues up there. As far as caribou populations and hunting, at present, there doesn't seem to be a problem.
When you say there doesn't seem to be a problem, you mean there aren't very many animals being harvested?
The populations are still within their sustained yield. That is, the populations aren't declining in response to hunting.
What about the impacts of hunting along the road north of the highway on, for example, the visibility of game?
Well, hunting would probably reduce visibility of game near the road, but bow hunting south of the Brooks Range crest at present doesn't seem to be hasn't been so effective that you wouldn't expect not to see animals. In other words, what I'm trying to say is there are some taken, but it's not a very very large number, and wouldn't be expected to affect the population much.
One more question on that. Seems like one of the potential visitor attractions is the presence of Dall sheep in Attican Pass. What's the current regulations on sheep hunting along the road?
The current regulations, again, are the no hunting within 5 miles of the highway, which should cover the Attican Pass area. And beyond that, there rams have to be at least 7/8 curl in order to be legal. And that should leave many animals for viewing purposes.
So you can bow hunt for legal rams in Attican Pass right now?
That's correct.
And what about what's the impact of any hunting beyond 5 miles? Where access is off the road?
Yes, a lot of that is taking place illegally now, I think. The impact is greatest on moose populations. The caribou populations of the caribou herds in the area seem to be increasing.
Other questions, Mr. Reynolds? Thank you very much, sir. If we could, we'd like to hear from Les Rosenkranz or a representative from Bureau of Land Management in Anchorage.
This is Les Rosenkranz, Anchorage. I'm Les Rosenkranz, Acting State Director for the Bureau of Land Management.
Thank you. One of the questions that came up, Les, was earlier was on the potential for controlling development along the Dalton Highway should it be opened in the future. And we do have a summary of the BLM's
corridor plan or their land use plan for the pipeline corridor. Perhaps could you very briefly summarize what your agency has been doing and what your longer range management plans call for?
Sure. We've completed a land use plan on the corridor. Been working on it for the last several years. Held about 20 public meetings and had two formal comment periods that the public was able to comment on it. And we identified in that plan four development nodes, what we refer to as development nodes, where some development should take place or could take place with minimum impact to the surrounding areas. They are located at Coldfoot, Prospect, Happy Valley, and Chandler Shell. Now, in our discussions with the state and realizing our commitment to the state to honor their state selections, we have agreed in the plan that we could open up the area north of Tulip Lake to state selection, which included the Happy Valley and Chandler Shell nodes. And in addition, the other two other nodes at Hope and Prospect would also be available for state selection. With the state's authority to deal with things like zoning and different things, we felt like that would be the place where any development, commercial development, could take place, and it would be limited to those areas. The remainder of the corridor would remain undeveloped, other than some campgrounds, the waysides, and that sort of thing, where people can turn out for scenic overlooks and those sort of things. That's basically what the plan calls for.
Maybe if I could stop you there, Les. On those areas that you've identified for, I guess it's your druthers to permit state selection, is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
For those areas where you would, according to your plan, permit state selection, how large are those areas? For example, the Coldfoot or the Chandler Shelf or the, did you say Happy Valley area?
Coldfoot is about 26,000 acres, and it includes the access corridor actually to the east, so it goes out, it's a continuous piece of state land that would go over to the outer edge of the corridor and contact other state lands on the east side.
6 by 6 miles.
And then Prospect is about 55,000 acres, which includes the airport and also includes a corridor that would go over to the west towards the Amber Mining District. Happy Valley was 1,600 acres, and Chandler Shelf was 1,700 acres. Again, Chandler Shelf and Happy Valley is included in the land that would be north of Tulip Lake that would all go to the state.
Okay, so the areas then around Prospect and Coldfoot, how many, those are a township or two large, how many miles of road would, for example, the Coldfoot selection conceivably be?
Okay, it's actual road access is about 4 or 5 miles right along the road.
And then for Prospect?
Prospect would be something similar, probably a little less, about 4 miles maybe. And I'm guessing a little bit, I can't remember exactly.
I think following up Senator Fix's comments earlier, really we, you know, the next line of questioning is really to DNR and to our own land interests on what would happen then on internal zoning to those selection areas. The other thing that we'd be interested in hearing your comments on, ultimately, you know, if the road were to be opened as primarily a visitor destination area or a visitor attraction, certainly there'd be demand and need for visitor facilities like campgrounds, waysides, rest areas. What are BLM's plans as far as the actual follow-up construction of some of these nodal visitor-oriented developments?
Okay, this past summer we've been anticipating that the public is going to get more and more access up that way. So this past summer we had a large group of our specialists up there, and they did a lot of inventories on the rivers and along the route to see where there was possibilities for campgrounds, where you could put in some places for putting in rafts or boats for floating some of the rivers, and looking at seeing what the minerals were, where the mineral licks might be for some of the animals we didn't want disturbed, and so on and so forth, working with fish and game. And from that, then we've been in the process of developing actual site plan for the construction of campgrounds and so on. And we will hopefully complete those site plans this summer, and we'll be looking for construction dollars in our 91 budget to start actual construction of campgrounds and waysides and scenic overlooks and so on and so forth, working with Department of Transportation and DNR.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you for providing my office your plan, although my aide wasn't real keen at going through all 500 pages and summarizing it, but it does look like you, your agency has done a lot of work on it, and it does tie in clearly to the proposal that we have before us, and I guess speaking on behalf of the state, but probably our DNR folks more directly are most appreciative of being able to work with your federal agency on this.
Okay, well, thank you. Two other things I might just mention real quick is one is that we do have a federal law enforcement ranger that will be patrolling the area too, enforcing federal law and the regulations. And then the other one is that you mentioned your communication needs. We will have need for a good communication system also, and there may be some opportunities for some cost sharing or something like that in the future. And thank you very much for the opportunity to comment.
Well, thank you very much. Why don't we take someone here, let's see, Dana Brockway, Division Tourism.
Mr. Chairman, members, I'm Dana Brockway, Director of the Division of Tourism, and I'm here for some very brief testimony in support of passage. Court passage for a variety of reasons. One of them is that since the startup of motor coach operations up the highway a few years ago, there has been some significant demand for the motor coach tours and clearly some interest on the part of visitors to Alaska in seeing that part of the state. The opening of the road would broaden the opportunities for a different base of people to utilize a portion of the state to see that area. It would provide an additional attraction to draw car camper arrivals to the state of Alaska. And I think, as mentioned earlier, it would create opportunities for some small visitor industry entrepreneurs in the form of small coach tours, some of the other activities that have been discussed. Also here today just to offer that the Division of Tourism is available to work with DOTPUF and other federal and state agencies as they begin to anticipate some of the recreational service and safety needs of potential visitors to the area, and would look forward to working with those agencies. Beyond that, I'm available for your questions. And,
thank you very much. Questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
We have a number of people standing by, I know, in Fairbanks waiting to testify. We're kind of living on borrowed time here. If you could summarize your comments, we would certainly appreciate them. I'm going to go pretty much down the list as it appears to me here in Anchorage, or pardon me, in Juneau. Wayne Larson. Where am I?
This is the moderator in Fairbanks. Wayne Larson and Jack McComb have left, and Dave Lacey is here to testify.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Senator Porcheau, for the opportunity. My name is Dave Lacey, and I oppose this bill. I'm concerned about wilderness-based tourism. I think that's our best opportunity for the future. I think just opening this road up with the you know, not the only sham hasn't been just the people being able to drive the road at that checkpoint, but the sham has also been the enforcement of the fishing game laws and things there. So in the past, the state really hasn't done anything to correct that. And I don't see much in the future with the state fiscal future that we're facing. I don't think we can afford this. I think it's going to damage wilderness-based tourism. I think that's one of our best opportunities for economy, and it's also going to further damage the village subsistence economies up there, which are already reeling, and we know the crisis in rural Alaska. I don't think we can do that and afford to do it. I think that there's also been things like that road is created. You talk to people from Malacanca, you know, the caribou used to come through there. Now their routes have been disrupted. You know, there's ways that the villages have been impacted that haven't been brought out. And again, the whole history of the road here from it just going to be like an industrial road, and now people want to open it up, and it's kind of the same sort of boomer type attitude that's got us in trouble. You know, let's be conservative, let's support the subsistence economies, let's support the wilderness-based tourism, and not damage that further. The road hasn't been properly maintained or enforced in the past, and I don't see that we can afford to in the future. And it's a shame to see the Chamber of Commerce here in town not really working and understanding the potential for the wilderness-based tourism and also the impact that the villages have positively on the Fairbanks economy. And it's hard to always be doing business with these people one day and then turn around and then they're trying to shaft in the next day. So we need to really clear out and work together and get a really what we want for the future, and a lot of the institutions that we have had up there that haven't worked for us. So that's my testimony in summation very, very quickly.
Mr. Lacey, thank you very much. Janet Halverson?
This is Janet Halverson. I'm the director of the Fairbanks Convention and Visitor Bureau. I'd just like to let you know that out of the thousands and thousands of visitors that come through Fairbanks in the summer, the hot question last year was about the Dalton Highway and access to it and the desire for people to travel it. It's a good attraction. The marketing of the 50th anniversary of the Alcan Highway is certainly going to bring more rubber tire traffic to Alaska and to Fairbanks. We're going to see the need for, or the desire of people to take the additional route travel up the Dalton Highway, and we feel that it would be very important to have that open. However, we also promote maintaining it properly and having the money available for its safety and maintenance. We feel that there is approximately $150 million brought into our local economy each summer, and because of this, if the Dalton Highway were open, there would be additional money coming into our own community here. We need more attractions in Alaska. This certainly would bring fresh dollars into Alaska, and it's important for us to put an investment in the state infrastructure to bring in fresh dollars to the state's economy. And I just would like to finish by saying that let's keep these increasing visitors in our state longer, and I think the opening of the Dalton Highway would do that. I am also speaking for the Chamber of Commerce from Al Theodore, who had to leave. The Chamber has passed a resolution 01-0990 with the many warehouses. Therefore, be it resolved, states that by the Chamber of Commerce, the Dalton Highway be open to free and unrestricted travel, as is every other highway in the state of Alaska highway system. And be it further resolved that improvement and maintenance funds be programmed permanently for the Dalton Highway, the same as for other highways in our road system. And this was passed by the Chamber of Commerce. A copy of this will be sent to you all with a follow-up letter. Are there any questions?
No questions here. Thank you very much, Ms. Halverson. David Lambert?
This is Dave Lambert. I'm the business rep for Public Employees Local 71. We represent the highway maintenance workers along the highway. They support opening the highway, but also funding for the highway. Currently, the Dalton Highway budget is out of money. There's a $425,000 supplemental in, but currently they're looking at laying off individuals. The road is currently open for the first 333 miles right now. You only have an additional 200 miles that's not open. It's not a fish and game issue. The fish and game is pretty heavily regulated up there right now. The checkpoint is only open from this year, from July till first part of November. There's never been any enforcement power, so people have been going up there anyway. They just drive right by the checkpoint. Everybody I've heard testify today hasn't been up there, except for Steve Frank. They assume it's a playground. There's all these people that want to go up there. There's not going to be that many people up there. There isn't going to be the money or the travel to open more than maybe one more facility along the way. The places on there now are just about going broke. As far as closing the road during the winter, that's probably not feasible. You're only going to have public travel during the summer. There are public phones up there at the state camps. They are public. The doll sheep, the concern about the doll sheep, there's no doll sheep on Attican Pass during hunting season. They don't show up until hunting season's over. You try to hunt there 5 miles off the road with all the restrictions. That's a long way. You drive up there right now, you're going to see a couple thousand feet of caribou between Attican Pass and Prudhoe Bay. The limit's currently 5 per hunter. If they have a concern, they can shorten the season or reduce the limit. Do you have any questions?
Well, I was up there in hunting season at Attican Pass, and I did see sheep. I don't know if I saw a legal ram. I did see some rams. There are sheep up there. I don't know how far you'd have to go for a legal ram, but certainly there are sheep up there in hunting season. On the you mentioned the appropriation for the maintenance of the Dalton Highway. I wish Senator Ewing is gone now, but he is the co-chair of the Finance Committee. I know that there is a supplemental appropriation pending before the Finance Committee, and many of us are hopeful that we will be moving the supplemental earlier than usual this year, so we sure recognize the problem on that.
They are currently in the process of arranging for layoffs because they are out of money. Additionally, last year there was $44,000 for the checkpoint. Apparently, if the road is open and they close the checkpoint, they're looking at withdrawing that $44,000. $44,000 should be put back into the road. They can run a grader for a year on $44,000.
Good point. Mr. Lambert, thank you very much. Mr. Bloom, Stan Bloom?
Yeah, this is Stan Bloom, and I'm representing myself. I think keeping the Hull Road closed is tantamount to the Russians and East Germans keeping the Berlin Wall. I mean, we have a Brandenburg Gate and Disaster Creek. The legislator has created a situation of treating the land above the Yukon as unique. It's just like any other land. The same laws and rules that work other places will work above the Yukon. It's no harder to enforce hunting regulations along the Dalton Highway than it is along the Taylor Highway. The same thing happens both places. The Canadians drive to their north, and the world hasn't come to an end. Sheffield opened the road to Disaster Creek, and nothing bad happened. Alaska should be ashamed of itself for allowing tourists to travel the highway in buses while excluding Alaska from the opportunity to use a state highway. If you open this road, that will at least show that you believe in freedom and are not afraid of the North Slope Burl. They're paranoid. Insistence on keeping the road closed to everyone but them is not American. The road was built using free gravel from the federal government. It's being maintained using free gravel, which belongs to all of us, so it should be open to the public. The state still gives its free gravel, and it's safer to drive the Hall Road than it is to drive the Taylor Highway. It's wider and it's better maintained. Once it is open, services will become available. If there is a need, already there are two places to get gas and maintenance. You should open the road as soon as possible because it's the right thing to do. You should also repeal the law against off-road vehicles. It's illegal now for a tracker to use his snow machine to go tramping within 5 miles of the road. Breaking trail for the Coldfoot dog races is illegal. They use snow machines. The Park Service even issues a permit for an illegal activity. The people of Wiseman cannot legally use their snow machines because the law closes it to all RVs. And that's what snow machines are. I don't believe that's what the legislature intended, but that's the way it is, what has resulted. Open the road because it's the right thing to do, and it's a public road, and it should be at free travel by all Alaskans. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bloom. George Lounsbury?
George Lounsbury here, and I'm a private landowner in Wiseman, Alaska. I live in Fairbanks, but I travel back and forth quite frequently. And I am of the feeling that the road should be open all the way to Prudhoe Bay. And in my travels back and forth, I see some of these tourists at the truck stops and at the Arctic Circle, and I've never seen any more excited group in my life. I think that the tourism potential for that trip up and down that haul road is just immense, and statewide tourism-wise, it's going to be great. And I think if you tie this thing to a budget in terms of being able to supply state troopers and stuff, you've got to watch that, because if the tourists look in the Mile Post magazine and plan on going up the Hall Road, and then they get there and find out that they're not going to be able to do it because of some budgetary thing relative to not enough state troopers or enforcement officers, that's not going to sit well with our tourism business. But the road is a big misconception. A lot of these tourists I see along the roads were told the road was like a war zone. What they find is the road is plenty adequate, and they're pretty disappointed about that bad publicity about the road, which I noticed too. I always like it when I get to the Yukon, because that stretch from Livingston to the Yukon is the worst part of my trip when I drive up there. And these truck stops and these, like the Yukon River and Coldfoot, they are financially not doing all that well, because they get very, very little business in the winter except for the truckers and a few people around the road. And with an advance in tourism like that, I think these speed of businesses could survive and probably thrive somewhat, and they are a great necessity to have. And like they say, there might be room for another one further north, but I don't think you're going to see a big boom in truck stops. That's about all I have to say.
Thank you, Mr. Lounsbury. Why don't we move back to one of my constituents in Anchorage, Cliff Ames. Cliff, are you still there?
Yes, I am. Thank you, Senator Porcheau. My name's Cliff Ames. I'm with the Alaska Center for the Environment.
we have offices now in Wasilla as well as Anchorage. We don't think that it is a good idea to open the rest of the Hall Road to unlimited public use. We do have concerns like the ones that were earlier expressed about the impacts of a further opening on fish and wildlife, and on soils and vegetation from ORV damage. We're concerned about the effects on subsistence and also on the effects on viewing from the road. We don't have a very good record, as I think several people have suggested, in enforcing the existing rules regarding hunting ORV use and the checkpoint regulations. And we are not at all convinced that we would do a better job if the rest of the road were open. We don't think that it makes much sense to make our decision based on whether public funds have been spent on the road or not. We should make a decision as the public as to what the best interests of the state are, and we should not rely on the fact that expenditures might have been made in the past. We're concerned about the fiscal note. We're not sure that this is the best way to spend limited state funds. We are concerned in the long term, and I think we're often fairly short-sighted about strip development. We agree with Senator Fase that the state doesn't have a terribly good record in controlling development. I think if the legislature decides, if it does open the road, that it wants to control development, that it better legislate some controls. Campground development, I'm not convinced that we will do a better job on developing campground facilities for automobile users of the road than we've done along the Parks Highway and the Glen Highway. The facilities there are entirely inadequate. There aren't enough of them, and they're very poorly maintained, as a number of people who have met with Senator Szymanski have pointed out. We think that there is a good alternative here, and Senator Brockway touched on it, and that is exploring additional ways to provide opportunities for people to travel by bus along the Hall Road. The cost does have to be brought down. Small coach stores might be able to do that, but we think that it makes sense in any case to devote considerable energies to trying to make the Hall Road more available, but at the same time, I think, protecting what's unique about Alaska, and that is that we do have places in Alaska that don't have unlimited access, and because of that lack of unlimited access, there are wilderness or primitive or remote qualities that other places in the country and the world don't have any longer. And we're recognizing this, I think, in the Sioux Valley, where we have a variety of means of access, but not unlimited road access. And there are a number of people who are trying to protect what's unique about Alaska. So our group thinks that we can, in fact, achieve a compromise here that will provide for further viewing by both tourists and Alaskans along the road without destroying what's so special about Alaska. Thank you.
Cliff, thank you very much. Thanks for your patience and standing by. Let's go back to Fairbanks. We still have some folks up there. Sandy Pettit.
Thank you. This is Sandy Pettit. I want to express my views from a large trucking family. I think as U.S. citizens that we should have the choice to go up the Hall Road if we choose to. But what I'm wondering is what price are we going to have to pay to go all the way to see the Arctic Ocean if we choose to or not? As a lot of people have stated today and other days, that the services are terrible as far as north of Coldfoot. If somebody goes up there right now and has a breakdown, you're going to be at the mercy of the state or maybe another truck driver, you know, to come along and help. BLM says in 1991 they're going to put it in the budget, which we all know is going to take years and years to take effect. As far as the pull-offs, they're extremely inadequate right now for the truckers that are using the road, especially north of Coldfoot. They're clogged all the time, and for the truckers that are trying to sleep during the day or during the night, a lot of times they have to keep on going to find a place to safely pull off the road to sleep, which in itself is a safety hazard. I think that if you allow the road to be open in the winter, you're going to open up a Pandora's box, and you are going to have lawsuits, probably more than you can ever handle. I have driven that road many, many, many times, summer and winter. I have seen us fully loaded 100,000 pounds grossing, trying to break through 4 and 5 foot drifts. It's either that or stay there, and take the risk of having your fuel gel up, or your air cleaners clog, or your airbags burst, or whatever. So winter travel would be absolutely just crazy in my viewpoint. The whiteouts are incredible. The road can close. My husband just got home today from Prudhoe Bay, and he said that the road closed right behind him. You know, what do you do? Nobody can predict what Mother Nature's going to do as far as closing the road. And another problem there is in the wintertime, there's not enough binding on the road up there. The road is now probably twice as wide as it was when it was because the state doesn't have enough money to put mining that's on there, much less calcium chloride. So the longer the way to the road, the more snow drifts you're going to get, and the faster and the more often the road is going to close because of drifts. Then you have to wait for the state to come either get you out or open the road. Cover travel, like I said, calcium chloride. The washboards are terrible. The dust and gravel are terrible. And I know that some of the finishers did go up last summer. Well, they went probably a $350,000 bus that rode really, really well versus the truck drivers who are going back and forth on the road, eating up tires and having to deal with the frost heaves that they actually got airtime on fully loaded, 100,000 pounds. And that's not pretty neat. Breakup is another thing. You have mud that's up to a foot and a half thick, which you have to have chains on. And I guess what I'm coming from is that as a citizen, I think that we all should be able to go up there because it is extremely beautiful, summer and winter. But I think that if the burden of safety is going to fall on the shoulders of the state, that scares me to death because their history doesn't really prove itself, mainly because of money, which is what it comes down to. Little things like the trash barrels up there. If I could take a picture of the trash barrels right now, right out of Poodle Bay, you would be embarrassed. I mean, sure, they say that they want to have bear-proof trash cans. Well, what does it matter if there's nobody there to clean them up or anything else, and the rain has taken all over? It's disgusting. So if we're going to depend on them to keep it cleaned up, I think we're going to be in trouble, and the visitors are going to see what's happening along the cross highways as, you know, just as much. And one last thing I'd like to say is the three additional troopers that you're looking at, along with the extremely expensive housing, I don't even feel that there's adequate protection in the Fairbanks area. State troopers are city police, and so to me it makes a little sense that you're so worried, to protect the Hall Road where the population is obviously so low. And one other thing too is that people have really had a problem with the public funds, the general funds, opening and maintaining the Hall Road. Well, one point that I'd like to make real clear is that by the public supporting the maintenance and the Hall Road being open to the commercial trucks, the trucking industry that is providing commodity to the oil field, in essence, what they're doing is putting money into their pocket, because if the trucks don't run, Poodle Bay is going to shut down. Without Poodle Bay, the state's going to shut down, because that's what we depend on, is oil revenue. So in essence, it's just one big circle. They keep the road open, and they support it, and they might not be able to see the Arctic Ocean, but at least they are able to enjoy the oil revenue money just along with everybody else. So it's another form of thinking about it. So I just think that if the state can provide a bigger budget for maintenance and upgrading, I think that it for sure should be open, but I also feel that with the history, it's not going to happen so fast, and there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be stranded. Thank you.
Ms. Pettit, thank you very much for your testimony. Oscar Frank, Jr.?
Yes, thank you. I work for the Fairbanks Subregion Office with the Natanaw Chiefs Conference, and the villages are opposed to this bill opening up the Dalton Highway as they have in the past when it was introduced in the House a couple years ago. The concern is that when proposed surface transportation corridors are open in remote areas of Alaska, that their concern is for the impact to the fish and game resources. And that ends my testimony. I just want to make one more brief comment on the, as I understand it, the BLM land use plan for the utility corridor is that their preferred alternative is that these nodes are what the state would receive. I don't think that's final yet. I might be wrong, but I don't think that's has been stamped yet for the approval from back in D.C. So that's just a recommendation that had from BLM. Thank you.
Mr. Frank, thank you very much. Ron Silas?
Mr. Chairman, Ron Silas is not here, nor is Al Sigler. Our next testifier is Judy Hawks.
Please proceed.
My name is Judy Hawks, and I'm here as a director of the Summer Folk Fest here in Fairbanks. One of the things that I'm looking to do with the Summer Folk Fest is increase rubber tire tourism to the Fairbanks area with my festival, and also I will ensure a greater success of
that's really circling around with this is Alaska a place for people or a place for animals? And certainly we don't want to see Alaska without animals, but we also don't want to see it without people. And this is one more way to make a vote that we're really going to open this state up to be accessible by average people who can afford rubber tire access to a wilderness area as versus airplane trips in or other such things. I think that we really need to make a vote that we are going to make Alaska a place where people can come, average people can come and see all of its beauty, and that this is one more way to do that in one vote. So I really encourage the passage of 366. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hawks. Vern Miller.
Good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity to speak on this proposed legislation. And I at this time, I'm not sure who else is from the legislature still there, and I thank you also. First of all, I'm Vern Miller. I'm also known as Klupstuck, K-A-L-U-P-S-A-K. And I don't know whether it was an inadvertent omission or something that an oversight. That Klupstuck, I have recorded here in Fairbanks a demand for all land north of the 66th parallel dated December 19th, 1978. The story I was told was BLM lost it when I gave it to him some 10, 11 years ago, and now it has a serial number, and it's recorded. And in tying with this, I'll premise the whole statement of mine by saying that I have nothing to do with Tanana Chiefs Incorporated, the 42 other villages, and as the Chief of Wise, and I support the opening of the road. But back to the other portion of it, I want you to be aware that Wiseman has not had any settlement under the ANSCA Claims Act. We have an enrollment, and we are entitled. Article 6 of the state constitution that you and all other legislators swore to uphold states that you will not take native land. If you take BLM land that was PLO 5150 for the explicit use of building the Trans-Alaska Pipeline, now in these selections that you stated, BLM wanted you to have, that would be a violation of our constitution. And if BLM proposing to give this land that I have a demand for at this time, since I have been denied both village and group's selection, that would be federal violation of my constitutional rights. So I want you to be aware of that. But nonetheless, I would like to give you some supporting evidence on why I support the opening of the road. Number one, there are very many communication sites that were used for construction camps still in place. I believe they're owned by Alascom. You could tie into those for telecommunications. I believe someone also said that even the existing state camps have public telephone. Number two, the regulations and federal guidelines for the pipeline require that they do daily aerial monitors, which are usually done with helicopters or aircraft. Those same people are flying in close enough proximity to the haul road so that if someone should have a problem or a breakdown, they could be an instant, they could make the proper people aware of the situation so that would preclude having so many troopers to monitor it. Secondly, the road has been steadily upgraded. And I own the largest piece of property north of the Yukon, 29 acres. And although it is smaller than Arctic Johnny's 40 acres, the pipeline does traverse his property. So, and I have no fears of strict development. I have at this time no plans on throwing in a big situation there at Wiseman. I see a lot of people are in conflict with the young lady that spoke prior to me, that what are we here for? Are we here to, number one, enjoy the land and not tear it up the way it is now, From what I've seen, both working on in Prudhoe for many years in all the pipelines and being a lifelong Fairbanks resident and Interior Alaska resident, I see a lot of the tourism here that go to the remote areas via highway and boats are people that the government workers and the military have bring their parents up here in the summer to show them that. And by golly, here we have the military up here defending this nation, and we have a state that's violating the 14th Amendment by not allowing free access and possibly violating the Interstate Commerce Act. If someone should rent a motorhome in Seattle, that becomes an Interstate Commerce vehicle because it is a paid-for vehicle, and yet you can allow him to drive two-thirds of the way to Prudhoe, and then he has to stop and turn around. And so, like I reiterated before, I am in favor of it. I think that you're going to always find the troopers coming in, and in this case, they'd have to plant trees up there. They'd love to have a trooper's car hide behind every tree along the road. Fish and Game, likewise, would like to have one out there for every 10 moose and 10 caribou so that maybe they could get to know them better. But we all know that there's less game here now and more management. So I'll leave it at that. And I thank you for the opportunity to speak and recommend your fine work on this legislation. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Miller. Valerie Munt, and before you start, we're automatically going to be kicked off the teleconference network here in about 3 minutes. So if we could keep that in mind, I'd appreciate it.
I'll speak real fast. I would like to apologize for Mr. Seeliger, who is representing the Minerals Committee and supports the bill, for Mr. Thies, representing the trucking industry, who also had to leave. And he supports the bill, providing that Senate Bill 396 is also passed, which gives us the funding to do this. Apologies for Mr. Kelly and Shakora, President and Chairman of the Chamber, who were not able to be here, but their resolution was read. For Mr. Larson, Transportation Chairman, who also had to leave, who support and will be sending you a resolution supporting Senate Bill 366. For myself, who represents tourism, we spend a great deal of money to encourage tourism, especially rubber tire traffic in the state. This is one of our primary questions at the chamber. Can we get to Prudhoe Bay? The rest of the world knows about Prudhoe Bay. They want to see it. There's a glorious view on the way that they don't even expect to see, and they get to see it. Regarding the strip complexes that might develop, all I can say is I really don't feel we'll see that, and I think we ought to question what the state parks has done anyway. They call them complexes, not strips, but they haven't done much better with that management than the wildlife management we heard about in the last testimony. And last, I do not think this will significantly negatively impact wilderness tourism. We're talking one road. There's millions of acres up there. I think there's room in the state for all kinds of tourism. The Chamber supports Senate Bill 366. We hope that you will also support 396, which will fund this access to the Dalton Highway. Thank you.
Ms. Munt, thank you very much. I don't know if I have anybody else signed up. Is there anyone on the teleconference net who desires to testify next minute? Yes, sir.
My name is Charles McKee for the record.
Please proceed.
I'd like to point out that I'm against the bill, and the reason being is the people in reference to us that live off the food stamp system, and I'm referring to the dollar, our habitat is money. And it's not, is that because it's our food? Only that. Native people, their habitat is food directly from the land. So there's a big difference. We play hard to feed ourselves if we have to plant that dollar bill in the ground and try to drive some of that to harvest. See? So that's why the native people are fighting so hard to maintain a subsistence lifestyle, because unlike us, they realize where their kinship is, and that's with Mother Nature. Reference to the man that made reference to human fatalities, either real, expected, or proposed, along
Gulf Highway and need for police protection. He was referring to the wilderness situation up there. I wonder if he's also referring to Washington, D.C. as a wilderness in reference to human fatalities and the law enforcement that's needed there. In reference to tourism, it's almost like cattle. It's a controlled situation equals monopoly, equals mafia, organized theft is the end result of all that. When you have Assistant Attorney General of the state indicating that the records of the Alaska Tourism Marketing Council is open to the public, and yet turned around the law department advises against the releasing of it, then the House turns around and puts together legislation and tries to ram through. So it's definitely a disregard for law, and that is a disregard for the majority and for the favoring of the few, which I've been opposed to for a long, long time because it doesn't benefit the many. And if you'd like to ask me any questions, I'd be willing to comply.
I don't think we have any questions. Thank you, Mr. McGee. We also had Barrow online. I don't have anybody scheduled to testify, only to observe. Was there anybody in Barrow wishing to testify? Okay, I don't know how long we're going to be able to hold on the line, just a minute or two probably, but we do have one more person here in Juneau scheduled to testify, Cynthia Monroe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll be very brief. The Alaska Environmental Lobby is opposed to the bill as it stands now. We would be quite happy to discuss with anyone options for opening the road to increase public access, but we feel that for all of the reasons brought up here today, that it's a very bad idea at present. Other than that, I'll probably be visiting members of the committee. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Monroe. Is there anybody that didn't sign up to testify here in Juneau that wanted to testify? If not, thank you all for your patience, and thank you for waiting on the teleconference. We appreciate hearing from you. We'll be looking at a lot of these concerns and trying to bring the bill back before the committee and hopefully address some of these things in the near future. Thank you very much.